In Parsha Vayeshev, we have the story of Yosef HaTzadik being sold down to Egypt, and the tremendous nisayon, the tremendous test that Yosef HaTzadik had to endure with Eishet Potiphar. And the Chumash tells us how his master's wife cast his eyes upon Yosef, and she said, "Lie with me." He adamantly refused. He says, "I have everything in this house. I'm allowed to be in control of everything except you. How could I do this? And I would be sinning against God, etc." And so it was that she clothed Yosef day after day. Chazal tells us it was an entire year. She used to change her clothes a number of times a day just to catch Yosef HaTzadik's attention. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her, to be with her. And then we come to Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the Chumash tells us the following in Perek Lamatet. Then there was an opportune day. When he entered the house to do his work, no man in the household staff being there in the house, and she grabbed onto him, and he fled, and she had his coat, and we know the story that Yosef HaTzadik was able to escape. He came in lasom malachto to do his work. There's a machloket and chazal. What was his work? Was his work to do whatever work it was that he needed to do? Or was his work to do to have relations with her? That he was finally going to cave it. And chazal tell us at that moment, Ra'ad yuknosh shel aviv, he saw the vision of his father, and that enabled him to withstand the test and be successful. We take a look in source number 3. There's a Gemara that says something very interesting. The Gemara says, when a Rasha appears before the heavenly tribunal to give an accounting of all the deeds of his lifetime and to receive his due, he'll be asked, "Why don't you engage in Torah study?" If he replies, "I was exceedingly handsome and was totally distracted by my Tzihara," they'll respond with a question, "Do you think you were more attractive than Yosef?" Thus, Yosef indicts the Rishayim, "You're no greater than Yosef HaTzadik. If Yosef could control himself, you could have controlled yourself." But we also find that another passage in the Talmud, which seems to play down Yosef's success in the battle against the Zion of the Satan. At that moment, when Yosef's righteousness was being tested by Potiphar's wife, his father's vision appeared to him in the window. He saw it in the chalon in the window. His father said, "Yosef, your name and your brother's name are destined to be etched into the stones of the Kohen Gadol Ephod. Do you really desire your name to be removed from among theirs?" According to that passage, it was only through the miraculous intervention of his father's vision that Yosef was able to withstand the Satan's test and resist the temptation of Potiphar's wife. Accordingly, we seem to have found a defense for anyone else who succumbs to a trial similar to Yosef. That person can claim, "Had I, like Yosef, seen a miraculous vision, I would never have stumbled." How then can we say that Yosef is the one who indicts the Rishayim? So we need to understand, my friends, and this is going to be our work in Mirz Hashem for today. On the one hand, we speak about how Yosef HaTzadik was Omei B'Nisayon, he withstood the challenge. And he shows up, all those Rishayim, "I can withstand the challenge, you could as well." And we call him Yosef HaTzadik, he's Yesod Olam, he's a Tzadik, he's someone who has this midah of Yesod, of being able to withhold back in this area of immorality. And we speak about the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. You have that on the one hand. On the other hand, you have the idea that Yosef HaTzadik was only saved because he saw Ra'ad Mut Yukunosh Shel Aviv, he saw this vision of his father through the window. So the Rishayim could say, "Well, if you would show me a vision of my father through the window, I also not sin." So we need to understand, well, what was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik? Obviously, if you see the vision of your father, obviously you'll withstand the sin. So what was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik? How do we reconcile that with seeing the vision of his father? Well, what does it mean to see the vision of his father? We need to understand that. And in particular, we need to understand the language of Chazal. The image of his father didn't just come like an image, like, you know, you have an image in your mind. He saw him b'chalon, through the window. What is that? What does that extra word in Chazal come to say, that he dafka saw him through the window, in the window? That we need to understand as well. And obviously, to understand its ramifications for our lives. And I'd like to try and look at this Mirtz Hashem on 3 levels, though the last 2 levels to tie into Hanukkah Mirtz Hashem as well. Parsha Vayeshev is always right at the time of Hanukkah. This year, it's Ramesh Red Erev Hanukkah. Before we begin our 3 levels, I'd like to make mention of a very important idea which is not well known. Perhaps it's not well known because it's found in Yerushalmi and Horayos, which perhaps many people have never met. And that is in source number 2, where the Gemara Yerushalmi says, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Matna, Tala enya v'ra'a ikunun shel avinu miyad hayatzan. He saw the image of his father, Midei Avir Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Abin, Af ikunun shel Rachel ra'a misham roei even Yisrael. Not only did he see the image of his father, he also saw the image of his mother. As the commentators point out, Evan HaRomez HaRachel Shehi Evan Yisrael Shav Ikunam V'zchut Shela Garam Lo Linat Tzal Minachet. Not only the Zchus and the image of Yaakov Avinu, but also the image and the Zchus of Rachel Imenu as well, save Yosef HaTzadik in this case. So albeit we're going to be speaking primarily and specifically about Yaakov Avinu, but we should have in the front of our minds that a lot of what we're going to say is not just about Yaakov Avinu, it's equally applicable to Rachel Imenu, and by extension to mothers, to women teachers, etc. As we go through our study, we should keep this in the front of our minds. Idea number one, level number one. Well, you know, obviously if you showed me a vision of my father, I'd also stop from sinning. What's our response to that? So I'd like to answer the question right off the bat and develop it a little bit. Birkat Mordechai Rav Ezrachi, he says, Mikan Shevi'ado Shokol Achad Lavi Et Mut Yukono Shalaba. Each and every one of us can do what Yosef HaTzadik did and bring the image of our father. Gam Dmut Yukono Shal Yaakov Lo Ba Melad. You think that it just appeared miraculously, you're wrong. Lo Hayazen Neitz Michutz L'Geder Teva. This wasn't some miracle outside the parameters of nature. Haitazo Pulato Shal Yosef HaTzadik. This was very much coming from the work of Yosef HaTzadik. And we know that Yosef HaTzadik had to bring this image in front of him in order to withstand the test. L'chol achad in the asterisk and for a chalon shakuf mishalo. We all have that, so to speak, window of our soul, the imagery of window on the first level, which is Sohar Meir, patuach listaklut shalaba. We all have that vision within that we can open up and see those figures that were could enable us to withstand the test, to be for us that safety net to hold on to in times of challenge. The Torah's Chesed, Rav Ehud Chanan, continues, and he explains in Source 5, the Gemara's Masechet Kedushin tells us, Yitzro Shel Dam Yitzgaber V'Yilmaleh Kodesh Baruch Hu Ozro Ein Yochol, that the Aryeh Tzahara starts up with us all the time. If our Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't help us, we would be up a creek. And we also know Hakol Midei Shamayim Chutz Midibriyat Shamayim, everything's in the hands of heaven except fear of heaven. How do we reconcile this? Shekadosh Baruch Hu Ozer Im Mitamtzim B'Kol Hachlochot. When does Hashem help us? When we do our part, when we want Him to help us. When we invest our entire being in trying to save ourselves from a Nisayon. And only then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then come and help us succeed. And that's the idea here, that Yosef HaTzadik, Sha'amah B'Nisayon Shana Shlema, he withstood for a whole year because Shalom, until that very moment, when the Yetzer Hara Mirskaber Me'ever L'Kochotav, it went beyond what he could handle. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come down and help him. And that's the idea of Yisur Dmut Yukno Shel Aviv, we know. Chazal tell us that the image of Yaakov Avinu is chakuka, it's engraved kivyochol in the kisei akavo. The imagery of Hashem coming down to help him is couched in terms of that he saw Yaakov Avinu. What he saw was the Shechina. What he saw was divine help. And he says, each and every one of us have nisyonos, have challenges that are tailor-made for us. And it's our responsibility to be able to take whatever siyata d'shmaya, whatever help we can get, and to daven, and to utilize all the kochos ha-nefesh, all the abilities we have to be able to withstand this test. We have to do our part, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come down when we ask for this help, and help us succeed. The unique heavenly intervention, Drash David Rav David Hofstadter, that Yosef experienced at the time of the test, is a legacy of the entire Jewish nation. Anyone challenged with a spiritual test can prove worthy of such intervention, a heavenly reminder of the dire consequences that inappropriate response would bring in its wake. Indeed, the greater the test, the greater will be the intervention to help one rescue itself from the clutches of evil. And that's what it means. If Yosef was able to withstand such a great test of his moral strength by contemplating the meaning of the heavenly intervention on his behalf, then every other Jew as well is capable of overcoming any trial tribulation that the Satan throws at him. But he must nurture and utilize the heavenly intervention that comes to one who sincerely wishes to defeat this adversary. Anyone who decides to ignore the opportunity Hashem places truly deserves to be rebuked with, "Were you more handsome than Yosef?" And Hashem will send us the Siyata Deshmaya in many, many different ways. The Siyata Deshmaya, this help from heaven may be a person. This help from heaven may be a call waiting. You're about to say something, and you know it's inappropriate, and suddenly you get a click, or someone says, "I have to go." Or, you know, out of the blue, something happens. These are all Siyata Deshmayas. These are all helps from above to say, "Let me give you a chance to catch your breath before you move on into the situation that you should do." All of these we have to be able to notice, be able to hold on to, and be able to utilize for our success. And that's what Rav Dinner points out. He says, the lekach hanogea elenu in Mikdash Halevi 9b, chashu b'myuchad, alenu ladat, ki na'aseh teishtadutein, when we do our utmost. Right, we're not just sitting back, "Oh God, Hashem, what do you want from me? I have such a Yitzhahara. Like, there's no way I can control my mouth. There's no way I can control A, B, or C. Like, what do you want from me?" There's going to be no hope. But if we work on ourselves, and we say, "You know what, I'm working on my Shmir Salasha. I'm working on my Taiva 4. I'm working whatever the area of Nisayon is. Ki im nasa et ishtadutenu. V'nimse kochotenu atom." And we push ourselves, which is a challenge. You know, we like to take the easy way out. But, you know, it's going to be work. It's going to take effort from our part. Ain't safek bekach shemina shemayim yitzayu otanu melo chofnayim. There's no doubt that Hashem is going to help us, because ulan ma'alu derech hateva, and it will help us above and beyond when we get to a situation that seems to be beyond us. But if we don't do what's expected of us, so then we have this claim against us. How come you didn't try? How come you didn't ask for divine assistance? This is our challenge. Yosef HaTzadik, continues Rav Hofstadter in 10, has taught us a singular method for which we can extricate ourselves from the shackle of Satan to avoid falling into the bottomless abyss of sin. A person should always seek to strengthen and deepen the spiritual bonds that connect him to his father or mentor. You want to know one of the greatest ways to be able to bring down Siyata Deshmaya? One of the greatest ways to do our Hishtablus, to be able to get this Siyata Deshmaya, this help from above, is to be able to have this deep emotional connection with a parent, with a Rebbe, with a teacher. The spiritual energy of such bond can actually fashion additional soul for a person. Thus, an indispensable tactic in man's personal battle against the force of evil is to conjure up the vision of his father and mentor, for the very image can shield him from sin. Consider the Rambam's instructions to his son. "My son, remember me at all times. Let my vision be in front of you, in front of your eyes. Do not remove it from before you. Do not desire to do anything that you know I despise. Observe this instruction, and you shall live." When we say that Dmut Yuknosha Aviv, the image of his father came to him through the window, and if I had that, then I'd be saved. The answer is all of us can have that. There's nothing stopping any of us. If we would open the window of our soul and we'd be open to having this vision, this connection, if we were open to really thinking about those people who we wouldn't want to disappoint, those people who have invested so much in us, that image too could stop us from potentially falling into a disastrous sin, a disastrous situation. Rav Gifter Pirkei Tovar notes, Chazal are teaching us the fundamental lesson in acquiring Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven. Yaakov and Yosef's Rebbe, and only after seeing the image of his Rebbe did Yosef regain his Yirat Shamayim. Our rabbis teach us that Mora Rabcha Kamara Shamayim, the fear of your Rebbe should be like the fear of heaven. And likewise, we have in Kedushin, where Chazal explained the word "et" in the pasuk "et Hashem lokecha tira," Hashem your God you shall fear, to refer to Tamidei Chachamim. A Rebbe is the link between a student and heaven. One who thinks he can directly proceed to Yirat Shamayim without the aid of a Rebbe will fail to achieve his goal, but will cause himself more harm than good by undoubtedly heading in this wrong direction. This is our job. As the Yosifos Baruch Hu points out in 11, that image of the days in yeshiva, the days in seminary, the days where we spent our time involved in learning, where we feel that we're surrounded by the kotlei beis medrash, by the kedusha of the study halls, of the experience of learning, that needs to stay with us forever. That experience is what is going to hold us in difficult situations and in difficult times. This is what we need to remember. We need to be able to hold this vision in our head, to be able to have an impact on those crucial moments in our lives. All of us can have that image. All of us can have that vision inside of us. It's interesting that Shraga Rav Shraga Grossberg, in Source 13 A and B, and then in his Sefer on Chinuch in 14, gives us a very interesting, perhaps little bit of a different understanding, a little bit of a different view. What does it mean to see Dmut Yukno Shel Aviv, the image of one's father? So far, the way we've understood it, I think the classic way of understanding it, is mamish the image of the father, that you see in your mind's eye the picture of your Rebbe, the picture of your father, and seeing them, right, staring right at you. As the Ramban says, I should have your image, the image of the father in front of you at all times. That's going to save you. That's one approach to the Dmut Yukno Shel Aviv, the image of your father. But there's another approach, says Tzadraga. And that is, he says, it's interesting that Chazal don't say the teaching of Yaakov Avinu did stand in his set, and all the learning that he did with his father, and all the yeshiva chamber effort that he taught him, that's not what stayed with him. All that intellectual knowledge wasn't going to help him at that time, because we know this wasn't an intellectual battle, this was an emotional battle. And when you're dealing with emotions, sometimes, very often, the head is cut off from the emotions, and you're not in the same place. What was the ability? What was the Dmut Yukno Shel Aviv? So aside from the actual image of his father, he explains. And let's take a look in 14. Mao Dmut Yukno Hainu Tzurat HaChokhma VePoa. It's the way his father acted. Klomar, lo Torah veChokhma Mufsheta, not some intellectual knowledge. El Dmut Mitzuti Cho Chayei Torah veChokhma. How his father behaved. When you look at the behavior of the person, and you look at the gestalt of the person, and what they represented, who they are, the Yerushamayim of the person, that's what's going to stand you in their stead. Havei Omer, Soda Shpavachdira, in the asterisk, is the ability shamakaba lashpa lo by de omeka chokma. Ruma secha vatahom rayanot. Kiakova le mikol. Our hearts are so crooked that at the moment of temptation, all that intellectual knowledge isn't going to do much. Vein bekocha secha lavad lachdor latov tachoshal leib valanik miruchoshal lamashpia. That's not what's going to have influence on a person. Elamai, what will have an influence on a person? Continuing 15, Rakdvarim HaYotzim Min HaLev. It's the lessons that were imparted, and oftentimes it's not even through speech, it's through action. Hainu Milev HaMashpia SheChokhma Naset Elo Chokhma BePoal. When he saw what he was doing, how he acted. What makes the greatest impression on students and on children? It's not necessarily what the parents say, but how they act, what they do. That is the picture that comes to mind right now. That's the chokhmah that's going to be machrat et akaf. When you see an image of how the Yerushamayim of a person, when you see the image of how your Rebbe or your Mora would speak so softly and so nicely to every person, when that comes into your head, you say, how could I say this? How could I act this way? It's that image that makes such an impact on a person. Something they do, something that they say. Wow. That is what is so important. And we're both saying, you know, we see from two sides here. On the one hand, for us as individuals, to be able to have these visions in our mind, so clearly embedded in our mind that we're able to pull them out of the files, so to speak, when we need them. And two, as parents and as mashpim, as people who influence others, whether it's as parents, as mentors, as teachers, as friends, we need to realize that it's not always what we say. but what we do and how we act that's going to make the greatest impression on our students. I always say that as a teacher, students remember very little of what I taught, but the anecdotes and these tangents and the surah of teaching and the way of teaching, that's what makes an impact on the students. And we have to realize that there's, you know, many levels here in teaching, and frontal teaching is just one very narrow approach of teaching. That's what it means, how his father would act, the tsura, the way, the behavior is what makes such an impact. As we're talking about the importance of the mentor and not just the person in the trial situation, we can appreciate what Rav Achweigel in Kovet Sichos points out in 17. He says, Yaakov Avinu lo kibel tanchumim al Yosef. Yaakov Avinu v'yma'eli nachem, it says in our parasha, he refused to get nechama, forget to be comforted, consoled. In all 22 years, he was worried about him. He was worried about his ruchnias. He was worried about his gashmias, his physical well-being, his spiritual well-being. What enabled Yosef HaTzadik to be saved? It was that care, that influence that his father had on him. If you are really connected to somebody, you become one with them. When you're connected with somebody, whether it's friends, whether it's a Talmid to a Rebbe to a Talmid, whether it's a parent to a child, when you're thinking about them, when you're feeling connected to them, so when they're in a difficult situation, your energy, your focus is going to help them out, even though it's nothing that was planned, so to speak. That's what's going on here. When Yosef HaTzadik was in the dire situation, all of that energy of his father thinking about him was suddenly transmitted to him. And the Nesiva Shalom says this clearly. He says, when Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers, and he says, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, right, that you sold down to Egypt. Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? They just said his father was alive. Why is he asking again? So explain to the Siva Shalom. Take a look at the end of 18, second paragraph. V'zeh huma shamar Yosef l'achav, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Oh, tell Yosef the same Yosef, kamo shayiti mekodem kach, as I was before. Ani gam atel achar kol nisyon shavarti, I'm still the same Yosef, oh, maybe tzivki, standing in my righteousness as I was before. U'lachar sh'neyeti Moshe b'chol tzitzrayim, as I was before, I am now as the ruler. Va'ozeh hosif, and he adds, ha'od avichai, hainu, avi shali, my father, ha'hitkashut shel avi elai ha'odena chaya, and the reason I'm able to still be this way is because that relationship with my father is still alive in me. Shadayna kesher v'neinu malei chiyos. Not only did Yaakov Avinu never forget about Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik never forgot about his father. Umavur amro aviv l'shon yochi darel etzav adavar ha'im Yaakov chay kvar sha'alam mikodem. Ha'od avich chay isn't a question, it's rather a statement. My father, not ha'od avinu chay, is our father, plural, alive, which would make more sense. The brother just said we're brothers. Ha'od avich chay is not a question, it's a statement. My father is still alive in me. Mikoach the bracket, itkashvut sh'avich chay bekirbi. From the fact that my father is still connected to me, mikoach. That's the relationship that we need to work on, for both as a parent perspective and the child's perspective, to feel this connection, even if you're 1,000 miles away, to realize that when one thinks about somebody else, you're able to give over those connection, those vibes, those ability to withstand difficult situations. Similarly, Rabbi Spiro tells a very small and yet beautiful little mitzvah. He said that he was once teaching, he teaches eighth graders in Baltimore. He once had a student who you could see that was miyuchad, that you could see he was very special. And he couldn't figure it out, but he recognized there was something about this boy. And once when he was teaching the bracha of the Birkas HaShachar in the morning, that we daven for our Revna, the Torah should be sweet for us, but tzatzainu for ourselves, our children, etc. So then the boy said, ah, now I understand. And he explained this to Rabbi Spiro. Rabbi Spiro said, now I understand why the boy is so special. Is that every morning when my father says this bracha, he counts on his fingers. Or, you know, he does this with his fingers. I never understood why. And now I understand he goes to each and every one of his children. Five boys or five children. And each one of them should have a revna, should be sweet to them. He says, when the father is thinking about this, of the children all day. So then you feel that there's this connection. You feel that there's a special tefillah. I know, we all know this as mothers, that anytime we think about our child during the day, and we say kapitul tilum in the middle of the day, whether we know they have a test, we know they're going through a difficult day, or just them, your child is going to be a different child. A parent who davens for their child in the middle of the day. You know, you have a few minutes and you have downtime from your job or your work or you're folding laundry or cooking to say kapitul tilum for each and every one of your children. Wow, this creates that connection. This is all the Gedolim say. What makes them great was their mother's tears. Not only in lich benching, that's obvious, but the mother's tears of davening every day for their children. That's what we need to do as mothers and as fathers. It's a demut yuknosh al aviv and rachel imenu, that all of her tears and all of her tefillos went into this child as well. And obviously he's seeing that as well, which is an important idea as well. We could just add parenthetically that from this Gemara Yerushalmi, you see that the influence is not only of someone who's alive, which was Yaakov Avinu at this time, but even Rachel Imenu was not alive. The influence of a parent or a mentor or a rabbi who's no longer in this world also has an impact in this relationship to help a person, to give them that ability to withstand and that strength to withstand difficulties. For both sides, this is mamash yisod for all of us. For all of us being the ones who, lo aleinu, should be tested in difficult situations, to be able to make sure we have that image to come in front of our mind, and to be that person who's going to be that image for others in their mind. You know, that the child should see their father, their mother, and that conjuring up that image, conjuring up what they represent, is going to help them. Part of that is being the pathways, constantly thinking, connected. A parent and child, the more that one is connected to the other, the more the child who said, what would my mother or father do in this situation, the more that this child is going to be successful. As well as the person who says, and I have students who say this to me, you know, Mrs. Miles, I may not email you a lot or call you, but in many situations I say to myself, what would you say in this situation? And I then answer myself, I say, okay, now I know what to do. Like, when you have that conversation with yourself, that helps us, guide us, takes us out of self. So this is the idea of how Yosef HaTzadik can be that kitrug against that accusation against the Rishayim. We all have this ability. Just to add one more level, one more nekuda aspect of what it means to see the vision of a parent, to see the actions of a parent, I'd just like to bring an idea that Lev Tahor brings from Avigdor Parnas, as well as from Siva Shalom in Source 20. That part of Yosef HaTzadik's tremendous challenge, why it was a real nisoyon, is that she saw in the, and she proved to him in the stars that he was going to have a child through her. And, you know, in those times astrology was very strong. And that was what the nisoyon was so great. Indeed, it was her daughter, not her. But here Yosef HaTzadik was in a difficult situation. If indeed he's supposed to have a child through her, so maybe he should be with her. And he didn't know what to do. This, says in Siva Shalom, is similar to the Akedah. What was so difficult about the Akedah? If Hashem said, sacrifice your child, you sacrifice your child. But it was a stikra. Hashem had said, sacrifice your child, and through that child, you're going to have progeny. Well, how could that be? This was a stikra contradiction that Yosef HaTzadik felt. On the one hand, she's a married woman. On the other hand, there's supposed to have a child through her. How do you understand this? And therefore, says in the Siva Shalom, This is the Kenegan Zan, the bracket near Talo Dumuto Dukino Shelaviv, which means he didn't actually see maybe the vision of his father, but he saw the Nida of his father. What came to his mind is Titain Emes Liyakov. He saw how his father would act in such a situation. That the Nida of Emes is that you stand in Omei Ben Yisrael. What the astrology means, I can't deal with it, but I'm going to be Omei Ben Yisrael. We say in our benching, Kedoshim. Kedosh Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is known as the paradigm of Kedusha. He's holding on to the heel of Esav. Esav is the Mador HaTaivos, represents desire. He's able to hold on to the heel of Esav. He's able to try to have a bring the Kedusha into the areas of Tuma. So now I understand what it means. The idea says the Leif Tahor that he looks outside. Just like Avraham Avinu was told, go outside and look up in the heavens and you'll see that you're moving away from astrology, right? Avraham can't have a child, Abraham can, right? You're above astrology, so to speak. So here, Yosef HaTzadik was inside, he couldn't necessarily look out, look up, but by looking through the window, he saw that he is above the astrology. He's not connected down to this world. And the Mida of Emes doesn't worry about astrology. The Mida of Emes is she's a married woman and he cannot be with her. And knowing that Mida of Yaakov Avinu, and knowing that Yaakov Avinu is Lamala Mishlemos HaMalotzolos, above the astrology, that was able to, it helped him overcome this trial. So on this level, which is all part of the first level, we can all conjure up either the physical image of a parent or a mentor. We can conjure up something they did, their personality, their behavior, or we can conjure up their Mida. This is who they were, this is what they stood for, and that Mida, that quality, will be able to hold us back from doing what we can do, what we should do. That's level one, my friend. Level number two of the three levels of how do we reconcile this? Yeah, Yosef HaTzadik, did he overcome? Did he have his father's help? So again, the first level is he overcame and he brought his father's help. So his greatness was that he tapped into that reserve of Siyata Deshmaya found in him. That was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik, that he was able to withstand the test by bringing the image of his father. The second level is the following. Says in Siv Shalom 22, he says, there are different types of Yetzirah, evil inclination that overcome a person. There's a Yetzirah, that's a one-time Yetzirah, that wants you to do a certain Aveira. Then there's a Yetzirah that wants you to do many Aveiras. And then there's the most difficult Yetzirah, and that Yetzirah is given to a person who is has a Bechinam Neshama Kolelet, who's a very great tzaddik, who really encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. And then when they have a nisayon, when they have a challenge, it's not just to have them fall in the challenge, but to have Klal Yisrael fall along with them. And those are the great tzaddikim who are challenged, and those are far greater challenges. Now we can understand. When this challenge happened against Yosef HaTzadik, on his own, he was able to be miskaber on this challenge. When the Yetzirah tried to get him, he was able to withstand, right? For a whole year, he's able to withstand. And in that respect, Yosef HaTzadik is able to stand up against the Rishayim and say, I was able to do it, you're able to do it. Ah, where does this idea of his father coming down to help him? That was the part of the Nisayon that Yosef HaTzadik was impacting the future generations. That we know, Chazal tell us, that the fact that Yosef was Godur Atzmo Mina Erva, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to hold himself back from a morality, Klal Yisrael, when they went down to Egypt, were able to hold themselves back from immorality, from this place that was laden with immorality, they were able to withstand this test. That aspect of Yosef HaTzadik's test, that wasn't only affecting him, it was affecting all of Klal Yisrael, that was too much for him to handle. That's when Yaakov Avinu's image had to come, and that's what enabled him to withstand the general Nisayon that affected future generations. So there are really two different Nisayonos going on here. When an individual says, hey, what do you expect from me? I didn't have the image of my father. the answer is Yosef HaTzadik also didn't have the image of his father to save him from the personal nisayon. That he was able to do on his own. When did he need the image of his father? That was to save him from the nisayon of Klal Yisrael, and that most people are not faced with that same nisayon. And that's why we talk about the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik, because indeed, he was able to save himself from this terrible, this challenging nisayon. Let's try to understand a little bit. What does it mean that Yosef HaTzadik withstood this nisayon for future generations, not only for Egypt? It's very much connected to the Greeks. And we'll look at this story from a little bit of a different vantage point, as we've spoken about Pardes, Pshat, Remonstration. So there are many different levels to understanding one story, and all of them are correct. The Shilei Pinchas from Pinchas Friedman, this is year 5772 in Parashat Vayesha. He speaks about the Megale Amukos that the Greek exiles served to atone for the sin of the sale of Yosef. And we know that there is the same numerical value of Yosef as the same numerical value as Antiochus and the same words as Melech Yavan. What is this all about? So, this is obviously a very long piece in the Shvili Pinchas. I'm just trying to highlight here. The Yevanim told, one of the decrees was, they should write Al Keren Ashur on the horn of an ox. We have no portion in the God of Israel. And the ox is a reference to Yosef. Bechor Sharo Hadarlo V'Karnei Re'im Karnav. And the blessing Yaakov bestows upon his sons. Yosef is compared to an ox. What does this all mean? What does it mean that Yavan is going against the ox, going against Yosef? Yosef is the same numerical value. It's an atonement for the sale of Yosef. How do we understand this? So again, obviously, it's much more complex. Just going to present a little bit of highlights. He goes on to explain that Yaakov Avinu understood that Yosef at Tzadik 25 was going to spend time among the Goyim. He made a special effort to teach him what he learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever on how to live among Goyim. That's why when the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu was the one who taught Zivu Kunim, that he was a Ben Kunim, that he taught his Torah of Shem Ve'ever to Yosef, the question is he didn't teach the other sons. Of course he taught the other sons, but he taught a specific Torah to Yosef, the Torah of how to live among Goyim. Now, here Yosef is found, a 17-year-old, very handsome young man, among the Goyim. And we know that he quotes here the Divrei Yechezkel, who asked, how is it even possible to imagine that Yosef HaTzadik, the personification of righteousness, knowing that his father was suffering, could have pursued worldly pleasures and curled his hair? Right? That's what Chazal say, that he made himself look very beautiful, and that is why the Hashem brought him this challenge of Eshet Potiphar. What is this business Yosef HaTzadik is doing his hair? So he says, the Divrei Yechezkel, the following in 27. When a tzaddik arrives in a new place, he must figure out what his mission in that place is. Upon arriving in Egypt, Yosef wished to inform them that a creator of the world exists. However, no one wanted to associate with him, since he was dressed like a Jew. Therefore, he decided that it was appropriate to adopt their manner and dress and to curl his hair, in order to find favor with them and to gain access to them socially. When the Pasuk mentioned that his quote-unquote master's wife cast her eyes upon Yosef, this is an allusion to the adulterous woman the Satan gave us, indicating that Yosef began having inappropriate thoughts, and so it was she coaxed Yosef day after day. It means that these improper thoughts were increasing. It was on that day that he entered the house to do his work. The Targum Onkelos explains he wanted to check his personal notebook. It is the way of the righteous to keep a record of their transgressions in a notebook so they remember to do tshuva. Therefore, he went to check his personal notebook of his to assess which transgressions must be causing him these improper thoughts. After all, he never experienced these thoughts before. And she grabbed hold of him by his garment means that the only sin he found guilty of was that he changed his manner of dress to that of the idolaters. And he left his garment in her hand, he fled and he ran outside means they decided to abandon their manner of dress for good and to flee from the influence of the Satan. So again, we can understand this level. Obviously, it happened on the literal level, but it's happening on a much deeper level as well. That Yosef HaTzadik realizes that how was the Satan able to have a hold on him? Because he changed one aspect, and that aspect was his dress, and that's why she was able to grab hold of him by his clothes. Now he can understand that his father appeared to him in the window, that he understood that he saw the vision of his father and all the Torah his father taught him, which was that you have to maintain a separation between you and the Goyim. He saw recalled the image of his father dressed like a Jew. Then he understood he was to abide by the ways of his father. A Jew must dress in such a manner that he remains totally separate from the Goyim. And this is what he saw at that moment. And we now understand why Yosef HaTzadik's sanctity nullifies the negative force of Greece. What was Greece all about? They wanted to do what? Kishaam demachus yavar roshalam chayisrael. Lashkicham terasecho. Lavira mechuke retonecha. They wanted us to forget the Torah. They wanted us to adopt their lifestyle. They wanted us to dress like them, to talk like them, to act like them. Vaitavru begoyim v'yomdu mimaseihem, to become actually part of them. That was the whole problem of the Greeks. The Greeks wanted us to be totally, which is what Yosef HaTzadik thought, if we become part of them, then we can be able to influence them. And Yosef HaTzadik realized, well, it's Nisayon, you can't. Yosef HaTzadik was standing, Nisayon isn't only withstanding it for himself, he's giving the strength of the Hashmonaim to stand up and to be proud of who you are and not to dress like them and not to become like them and to be proud of your heritage and from that source to be able to fight them. And this is why the thing that they impurified was the oil. Pasuk in Yirmiyah that talks about how oil does not mix with other liquids. It rises to the top. They wanted us to become one and the same. And no, we are different. It's clear from these sources that the purpose of the mitzvah to kindle the menorah with olive oil 33 in the bracket is to influence Israel to remain sanctified and separate from the Goyim. Just like the oil that floats above all the liquids, therefore when the Greeks entered the sanctuary, they contaminated all the oils, since their sole objective was to persuade the Jews to assimilate with them. This is contrary to the oil which alludes to the state in which Israel remains separate and unassimilated. Seeing as the Hashmonaim sacrificed their lives in order to step Israel from the Goyim, Hashem performed a miracle for them, allowing them to kindle the menorah with pure oil. Now we understand Yosef paved the way for all of Israel. He went down to Egypt and guarded himself from immorality and the merit Israel were similarly protected, not only in Egypt, but for many generations later in the times of the Hashmonaim as well, that we understand that when we are separate, that's when we're going to get respect. When we become like them and we intermingle with them, then we know, we've spoken about this at length, we spoke about it last week, by Yisrech Lo HaShemesh, that's where all the problems are. And you see, my friends, take a look at the thousands upon thousands of people. I'm just picking out one example of many that Chabad have, or that these programs have on college campuses. And they're able to impact thousands upon thousands of people and college students to the way of Torah. So I'm picking Chabad because they dress with Hasidic dress. They don't change their garments. It sits out, the hat on their head. I am who I am, and it's that who I am that's going to be able to impact and draw other people in, not by dressing them and being like them and going to do things like them and hanging with them, and then they'll see I'm like them and then they'll want to be like me. No, that doesn't work. What works is being able to maintain our identity. And that's what Hanukkah is about. When we light the menorah, and there's some people have a minhag we've spoken about, to put oil on the top and water on the bottom. First down with a little water and then the oil. To show that we are separate, that there is a distinction between us and the nations around us. And to realize that with pride, that this is Jewish pride. This is what Yosef HaTzadik understood. And on this level we understand the imagery of the window. The window is a separation. You're able to see on the other side. You're able to influence on the other side. But there's a barrier. It's not a wall, it's a window. I'm on this side, they're on that side. And that's how we're going to have the greatest influence, not by being on the same side, being able to see them and being able to be distinct and different from them. So, my friends, the first level that we've seen is that Yosef HaTzadik was able to bring up, to conjure up his father's image, and that's what saved him, and we have the ability to do the same. On the second level, Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his Nisayon on his own. What does it mean he saw the image of his father? It means for the aspect of the Nisayon, of the trial, a challenge that affects all of Klal Yisrael in the times of Egypt and times of the Greeks, to be able to be separate, to learn that lesson that you can't intermingle with them. They have to be separate from them, and that's our greatness. That's where he had to see the image of his father, the Torah of his father, the Torah that his father taught him how to deal with a goyim. It's a whole Torah in of its own right, to stand with pride and not to be embarrassed to say, I eat only kosher food, not to be embarrassed to say, I have to leave for Shabbos or Yantar, but to be able to stand with our religion with pride, that's where the respect is going to come from. Our final level, my friends. And I'll just preface this final level with mamish, siyata d'shamayah, above and beyond, which b'chas de Hashem I feel with every shir. But some shears is just so apparent that I wanted to share this. As I was preparing the shear last week, I was still struggling with this chalon idea. I said there must be something with a window, and particularly with Hanukkah in my mind, windows, we light Hanukkah candles either at the doorway or by the window, there must be some connection. And I went through sefer after sefer after sefer, and I couldn't find it. And I said, you know, like, Hashem, just help me. There must be something here. And the next sefer I picked, which I normally don't even look at, is Bell's Leket Imre Kodesh, who mamish talks about this Nakuda of the Chalon. And then I looked at some Hanukkah books, and Bechesdei Hashem, I picked up a Sicha, and Sicha is Chazkut from Svi Meir, who quotes this idea of the Bell's Rebbe in Hanukkah. I said, ah, Hodol Hashem Kito, Baruch Shem Kivante, let me share it with you. Says the Leket Imre Kodesh, this is source number 34, without a 34, where he says the following. We know in the idea of the Sfarim is that when a person comes to a difficult situation, Hayoter Tofu, Shipalav Shemi Barach, Shil Tilto, Mi Chazak Mimena. You have to dive into Hashem when you feel like you're just drowning and you can't go on, just stop it. And Hashem Tov Tekados explains Shatfil Tarifli Opa Ofen Shim Sur Kochay Tol Shemis Barach. Give yourself over completely to Hashem. Total Sirus Nefesh. And he notes here that Tefillah Nikrei Al Shem Yaakov, that even though Yitzhak Avinu David, and Avraham Avinu David, Yaakov Avinu was the one who says, Vezeh Shara Shemayim. And Rashi says, Makom Tefillah La'lo Tefillah Tam HaShemayim, that he was able to access the place where all our prayers go up to heaven. That Yaakov Avinu is the personification of a Tefillah. And he says, Vezeh Kavanat HaGemara, this is what the Gemara means, Mut Yukno Shel Aviv Nir Alo Bachalon, what is the window? The Hainu Sheet Palel Negat Achalon, the idea by Daniel, that Daniel davened by the window, by the opening. So this is what it means when he saw the vision of his father. Yaakov Avinu represents Tefillah. The window represents the place of allowing, like Daniel, accessing our Tefillahs to the window. The Yosef Yit Palelas, that's what it means. How did Yosef overcome this Nisayon? It wasn't Pshat, according to this, that Yosef HaTzadik actually saw the image of his father, but rather he remembered the core of what it means to be able to withstand the Nisayon. And that is the idea of Yaakov Avinu in the window, and that's the idea of Tefillah. And it was in this koach of tefillah, of davening, at this moment that he was able to be saved, and that koach each and every one of us has. If we have this koach, this ability at all times, Chanukah by the Neros, which again we light by, many people by the window, is a gewaldic time to daven. Uchamochein says Rasvi Meyer, Shayach Beit HaSuri Meprati, each one of us, and we feel like we are caught in prison by our Yetzer Hara that just gives us no rest. Tasheva Nosha Daka, until we feel like we're really beaten down. And we feel our Yetzer Hara is all around us. V'lo Matza Yonah Manoach L'Kaf Ragla. And the Yonah, the dove, could not find a place for her feet until she came with Alei Zayit Taraf Befi, until she had that olive branch. And the olive branch represents Chanukah. When you have this time of Chanukah, it's a time of being able to come to Chayrus, to come to a certain level of freedom. Chanukah is a time of Shira. Chanukah is a time of Shiras Halavim, where everyone 38 is able to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, to get a koach, a strength, v'shem nashir shir chadash. We say Hashem Elokai Lo'olam Odeka, the end of Mizrach Shir Chanukah Abayi L'David, we say Mechanukah. We say it after the lighting, we say it after davening in the day, that Hashem will give me I will always thank Hashem. A new life, a new life force. Miss Worshir. It's a new energy. The time of Hanukkah candles. It's a time to daven. It's a time to have for ourselves. Rashi Meir speaks about that this is one of the ideas of giving tzedakah on Hanukkah. Obviously, it's a big inyan of giving tzedakah. One of the greatest ways of giving tzedakah is to daven for other people. But particularly daven for others and ourselves, for the difficult situations that we find ourselves in, to help ourselves be extricated from these situations. This is the light of Hanukkah. This is the or. This is the light that Hanukkah is Hisarus HaKedusha, the awakening of Kedusha, that no matter where you're at, you have this closest to Hashem to be able to save yourself. Now I want to take this idea a little bit deeper. Revolbi and Chumash, Volume 2, it just came out, Mamish, beautiful. He speaks about Yosef from Personify 37, the Midah of Kedusha was tested specifically in that area. In a similar vein, Avram, the quintessential Baal Chesed, was challenged with that Midah. This phenomena is at play even in the 21st century. When the Yetzer attacks fiercely, there's no reason to become dejected or depressed. It's quite possible that from the very attacks of the Yitzhara, we can deduce the aspects of Avodas Hashem in which we need to improve. Moreover, its attacks reveal to us the specific area in which we have the capacity to achieve perfection. If we only respond properly to the challenge, simple logic dictates the Yitzhara strikes precisely in the area that a person has the greatest ability to perfect himself. This idea is highlighted by Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen. He asserts that every person has his own distinct temptations. If one notices that he has an intense desire in a particular area, he should know that it's in this very area that he is spiritually equipped to receive Hashem's blessing. If he directs his heart to him, further one should be aware that the sin that he has transgressed most often is in the exact area of Avodas Hashem in which he can achieve complete integrity. And he says that's why when one sins with a particular limb, you should rectify that transgression by using that specific limb to perform mitzvot. If you transgress with your mouth, use your mouth for kedusha. Transgress with your hand, use your hand to do tzedakah and chesed. And notes from Tzadok, when the Yetzer Hara strikes, we become embarrassed. Our honor was slighted with his attack. We held ourselves in high regard, and Yetzer Hara showed us exactly how low we really are. Therefore, most people want to simply sweep their failures away and forget them as fast as possible. However, this is not the correct response, for we are in effect unplugging the red warning light that we shouldn't see it blinking. Rather, we must perceive it as a wake-up call to address the area in which we are destined to achieve greatness. And that's why he says it's common for people to compare themselves to roles around them. Why can't I get up for chakras like my friend, who leap out of bed like a cannonball? Haven't met anyone like that, but I'm sure there are. How come everyone is progressing in their sphere of solution and I can't seem to keep my mouth shut? The answer to these questions, getting up in the morning or refraining from Lashon Hara, might not be the aspect of Avodas Hashem that those people were created to rectify. Each person has a unique set of challenges. If one pays attention to the voice of the Yetzer Hara, works on rectifying the deficient area, then his fault will become the impetus for attaining perfection and consequently the catalyst for receiving Hashem's great blessings. If we understand this, my friends, that the very areas that are our difficulties are the areas of our greatest perfection. I can't keep my mouth shut. That's because I need to use my mouth in the greatest area. I keep on, walking to the wrong places because I could be using those legs for the right things, etc. When you understand this, my friends, then you understand what we're davening for on Hanukkah. We're davening for Hinari Me'afar 40. Bekoach Adam Linayer, help me, Hashem, to take those things that I'm lax in, those things that are troublesome for me. Avishav Hashemayim Azor Li Natzel Mepetich Lutzu, help me from these things that are low in me, that are bringing my Yetzer Hara on me, that are causing me Chorban. Shema Hashem V'chaneni Hashem Eya Ozer Li, Hashem, help me be able to be Hafach Mitzmedi L'macholi, to be able to take my mourning into greatness into song and dance, to be able to transform that very challenge. And that's why we have to be davening for Hashem. Ptichus Halev, Shvichus Halev. This is a gewaltig time, staring at the Hanukkah candles, which is really a reflection of our inner neshama, to be able to speak about, to daven to Hashem, what are the areas that are troublesome for me, the areas that I fall in. Hashem, help me, raise me up in this area, give me clarity, give me strength, give me that Siyata D'Shmaya that we've been speaking about, help me be able to be successful in these areas. Chanukah, Chanoch Lanar, is a time of beginning. It's a time of newness. It's a time of Chanukah. It's a time of rededication. It's a time to stand by those candles, whether in the Petach HaBayit or by the window, and to daven to Hashem to help me be the best I can, to take the Yetzirah and to transform it. You know, there's a gewaltic idea in the Torah of Chesed, who says, based on the Eitz Yosef of the Tanhuma, Perush on the Medrash, that Lo Yatzarich Yosef L'Dmut Yaakov Shet Tatil Tzom Aveira. You know, it wasn't Pshat necessarily that he saw the image of his father. He notes here that the mirror was very rare in Egypt, but by Mrs. Potiphar's bed, by the great people in their bedroom, they had a mirror. Yosef HaTzadik saw himself. That's the image of a window. Window is also a place of reflection. When he saw himself, and he looked, Ziv Zikunim, the Chazal say he looked like the spitting image of his father. When he looked in the mirror and he saw himself, he saw his father. That's a Mutu Kenosh Alavim. He saw the image. He said, wow, I resemble my father. What would my father do in this situation? How can I disappoint my father? To a great extent, Yosef HaTzadik, in seeing himself, was able to see his past and his future and realize that he couldn't harm himself at this moment. Is it any wonder, my friends, in 43, at the time that we light Hanukkah candles, all the chelik of our neshama from the past and the future comes, stands by us at that time. Shomdim alav kol nitzosos hakadoshim shalom, avotav avotav adam arishon, until adam arishon comes. And they're all there, to raise us up and to raise them up. Rabosai, when we see Dmut Yuknosha Laviv at that moment, when we light Hanukkah candles, not only are we seeing a reflection of self, but we're seeing a reflection in those candles of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, back to Adam Arishon. And I see myself as a chain, and I see my children, grandchildren, great-great, Sof Doros of Bias Goel. I see all of them at that moment. Everyone's there. Wow. And when I see myself in terms of the past and in terms of the future, I'm very much standing like Yosef HaTzadik stood with that moment of reality, seeing himself. How can I do this? At Hanukkah, it gives me a glimpse in the times of darkness to take a look at the depth of self, Ela L'Rotam Bilva. To stare at those candles is to stare at the Neshama, Kiner Elokim, Nishmas Adam. To stare at the candle within me and to realize my greatness. To realize my potential. To realize my connection to the past and my connection to the future. And to daven, Hashem, help me be that strong link. Help me, guide me. And this is our avoda on Hanukkah, to be able to take that torch and pass it from the past down continually to the future, that we are able to take this Hanukkah, this dedication, dedicate ourselves, dedicate our family, near Isha Veso, that we're going to live a life committed to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned each and of us, each and every one of us to live. And therefore, my friends, as we stand Erev Hanukkah, to remember that the distinction between us and those around us is what's great. To remember the mentors, to remember our teachers, to remember our parents who stand us in good stead, who are able to give us that strength in difficult times to be able to withstand. To be able to stand by the Hanukkah Licht with our all the nitzotzos, all the sparks of past and future standing there. And to daven, Hashem, help me with the challenges that are in my life. You are the only one who can extricate me. Mizmor Shir, that we can all sing a shir, a new song, in the ultimate base of Migdash, V'sham Nashir, Shir Chadash.